From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, October 23rd, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Douglas Ridge, a new 280-acre eco-conservation subdivision in Brunswick, committed to net-zero home design. More at douglasridge.com. And New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
The latest crime statistics for Maine show overall crime is down by more than 50% over the last 7 years and by more than 9% over last year alone. Public Safety Commissioner Mike Soscheck says the figures show that Maine remains one of the safest states in the country. Mal Leary has details.
Only two categories of crime saw increases: simple assaults and homicides, which rose from 21 in 2017 to 23 last year. Reported rapes also remained virtually unchanged, something that's an ongoing concern. Commissioner Soscheck says he's convinced sexual crimes continue to be underreported, with victims often reluctant to report them to police. But Soscheck says the numbers also reflect positive changes about policing. For example, he says an officer may spend hours working with someone in crisis and assist them in getting the help they need rather than making an arrest. He says police are working harder than ever, even as crime stats are down. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Overall, crime in Maine isn't the only thing that's going down. So is the state's prison population. Ryan Thornell is the deputy commissioner for the Maine Department of Corrections.
We're down about 250 men and women. We're hovering around the 2,240, which is a low in the last right around 7 or 8 years.
Thornell says the prison population reached an all-time high of nearly 2,500 just over a year ago. He says the shrinking number of prisoners means the DOC can better utilize existing facilities and creates more opportunities for programming. And the state's largest healthcare organization, Maine Health, is launching a national search for two new leaders. The nonprofit announced today that both its CEO and its president plan to retire at the end of 2020 and June of 2021, respectively. Bill Burke is board chair of Maine Health.
One of the reasons we are making this announcement now is to find someone at this level, and to do a national search takes quite a bit of time.
Maine Health is the state's largest employer with more than 19,000 employees. It recently unified its 8 hospitals under one governing board. The nonprofit also operates a behavioral health care network and home health agencies. In weather tonight, partly cloudy skies far north, otherwise clear with lows in the 30s to the low 40s. Tomorrow becoming partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of some light rain north. A few weeks ago, Sheepskit General Store and Farm in Whitefield was making headlines for its innovative U-Pick hemp, a crop legalized under the 2018 USDA Farm Bill. Today, however, the story is one of uncertainty, as the family farm finds itself in limbo with its bank and insurance company both planning to drop the farm. Jennifer Mitchell has our story.
It should be an exciting time for a farmer, the moment when the farm starts to recoup a little bit of its investment. But for Ben and Taryn Marcus, it's a different story. They've got buyers interested in 1,500 plants in their drying shed, but they've also got a problem. First, the farm's insurance company, Acadia Insurance, announced that it would not be renewing any of the policies held by the farm or store. And then the farm's lender, Camden National Bank, told them that they could no longer do business together.
Basically, they called us on a Friday afternoon and let us know that they were going to have to close our accounts, our cash account and our loan accounts. Basically made it sound like we were going to be getting a check on Monday and good luck to you.
Ben Marcus says the bank has since walked back on that threat, at least partially. He says they received an apology from Camden and were assured that the farm's loan accounts will remain safe. But because hemp is a strain of cannabis sativa, which is still considered an illegal drug, current banking rules meant to crack down on related money laundering and crime put their cash deposit accounts at risk.
We have not been issued any guidance by our federal regulators as to how we can bank these these companies, these farmers.
Renee Smith, chief marketing officer with Camden National Bank, says she cannot comment on any specific customer accounts, but she says Camden National wants to work with hemp growers, and she thinks that's possible if federal legislation makes it through Washington.
We are currently waiting on the Safe Banking Act, which passed in the House 321-103 and is heading to the Senate. In that current regulation as it stands now, it instructs the federal banking regulators to issue guidance to financial institutions confirming the legality of hemp and hemp-derived CBD products.
Marcus says he understands that the bank and his insurance company may feel that the liability is too much, but he says insurance companies and banks should not have been caught off guard. The initial framework making hemp legal was put into the 2014 Farm Bill. Those provisions were further expanded in the 2018 Farm Bill, with the state licensing more than 170 farms to grow it.
They knew this was coming down the pipeline. It's been in the spotlight all season long. To not even mention it until we're harvesting our crop and marketing it is absurd. There's no excuse for that.
And he says it seems that the anti-crime banking laws regarding cannabis and cannabis products are being unequally applied.
There's CBD products in just about every store that you go into. So where are they drawing the line?
The upheavals also mean uncertainty for the Marcus's employees. Store manager Penny Mosier says she's worried about losing liability insurance and complete access to financial services.
Electronic transfers, payrolls, direct deposit, like we need a financial institution that's going to be dynamic and can work for us.
Options do exist for the financing and insuring of hemp businesses, but Ben Marcus says they tend to be more expensive, and he says the farm has been trying to draw a distinct line between marijuana, which is psychoactive, and their product, which is not.
I don't know how much I can help, but I'm sharing away.
Meanwhile, the Marcus's situation has not gone unnoticed by customers at their store. David Chase of Whitefield says he's rethinking where he puts his money.
The Camden National is my bank, and so I did just text them and tell them that they're on the rocks as far as I'm concerned. So, I mean, if I have money in the game, which I do with the bank, I don't want it misused, and apparently it is being misused on my neighbors.
It's not clear how long the Marcuses will be allowed to bank with Camden or whether the Safe Banking Act, which has strong support from Senator King, will pass in time to help them. Acadia Insurance released a written statement saying it does not publicly comment on underwriting decisions related to individual policyholders. It goes on to say that, quote, in newly emerging industries, prudent underwriting requires that we carefully analyze and evaluate the risks and applicable laws and regulations associated with providing insurance to the emerging industry, end quote. The Marcuses have less than a month to find another insurer. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Jennifer Mitchell.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow in Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a conversation with former UN Ambassador and National Security Advisor Susan Rice. I'm Nora Flaherty.